actions happening here. We have to account for all the action and reactions. And so when this water sprays out of the hose, immediately the air is resisting it. Okay, remember the atmosphere, the ATM, I'll just call it atmosphere for now, is equals 14.7 psi, assuming that this is at sea level. So as this water, you know, this accelerated water, the increase in velocity comes flying out of the nozzle. The air is trying to resist it, but obviously there's so much energy here that the air can't resist the end of the stream. But just like in the jet engine, it is pushing down from above and below, and that's what creates this stream here. That's what holds it in a water jet coming out of the end of the hose, is this pressure. Okay? And so eventually the air will slow the water down, and you do have the weight of the water pulling it down, so you know you'll get more of a shape like this. You know, if it doesn't spray infinitely, eventually the weight pulls it down and the air pressure does slow it down. But that is what creates that jet effect, and it is the air pushing back on the water that continues the action and reaction process. So now here, you basically have R water equals negative F air in a nutshell. But it, you know, this sends like a ripple through the air, and it's like dominoes of air being pushed backwards until the air finally resists it. And it happens instantaneously when you turn the hose on, and that's why you get kicked backwards. I mean, you just can't see it because it's air. But this is what happens. There has to be consecutive actions and reactions. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Newton's third law, I believe it's true. It's everyday life. We know this. We experience it all the time when we're walking around, picking up a toothbrush, brushing your teeth. Every single thing we do has an action and reaction. If it didn't, we couldn't move. We could not control our movement. Okay? So, pretty simple. So, let's now consider this in space. All right? In space, say this is, instead of a fire hose, say this is one of the jets on the shuttle, okay? And that's the nozzle of the jet, or this would be propellant, okay? So this would be P, and this would be VS for shuttle, and the reaction of the shuttle is equal to the force of the propellant. And see where I'm going with this, shuttle, propellant, okay, and shuttle, propellant, well, remember, this is action-reaction, it is, so if the designer, the engineer is only looking at this and ignoring what's happening out here, he or she is assuming that there is a reaction happening out here. And I think this is how we have all been duped. I do. I believe this. It's taken a while to come to this, but when you really think about it, if you don't think about it, you're automatically assuming that action-reaction is happening out here. But in reality, if this is infinitely expanding space from the edge of the nozzle and the jet in the shuttle, then if this expands infinitely in all directions, and there's nothing pushing back because space is pulling away right at the edge of the nozzle, space is infinitely, there's a pressure differential, there's a negative pressure, whatever you want to call it, it sucks, whatever. There's nothing pushing back. So, in reality, VSF would be zero. Because you didn't sort of satisfy this, because the conservation of momentum is this equation. If there's no reaction between the propulsion, the VP, the propellant, whatever, then you don't have consecutive reactions back to the nozzle and you can't move. It's that simple. And that's what I believe is my opinion, but it's logical to me. And being an engineer, going to school and just knowing how engineering is, we go to school, engineers, we go to school, we do complex problems throughout our college career, and we're always doing complex problems, looking for complex answers, and we constantly train our minds to look for complex answers. And so it becomes very easy for engineers to actually miss simple explanations. I see it all the time, but nowhere have I seen it more than in myself. I've had a problem, I've overanalyzed it, and I've asked another engineer, and they go, duh, and they point at something, and I'm just like, oh, or just give me a simple answer, and I'm like, oh, and I've done it to other engineers. It happens all the time. We live in a very complicated society, and it does not surprise me when I really think about it that this could happen. So, I think it could be one massive conspiracy. Well, really, if engineers are designing these propellant systems for spacecraft and satellites and all these things, and they see video of them, they think it works. They forget about this action-reaction that's not happening because they only stick to this part right here. And if you just stick to this, you will get a velocity. If you do this calculation like I just did and ignore what's going on out here, okay, just like I did before, now we're saying mass shuttle equals VF or VSF minus V SI if it's moving, or we can assume it's not, and that equals negative mass propellant times velocity propellant final minus velocity propellant initial. And they can solve for this, and they can say, you can divide both sides by MS, okay? And so that gives you VSF minus VSI equals negative MP times VPF minus VPI over MS. And then you can just add VSI to both sides, and then you have velocity shuttle final equals negative MP propellant times VPF minus VPI over mass shuttle. Sorry, I'm going through all this. VSI. Then you can use this equation for other things. You can solve for the mass of the propellant you would need to create the velocity you want, all kinds of things. You can rewrite this equation, and as long as you're just ignoring that there's no reaction over here, you're assuming that there is a reaction, and so you're going to get values, and you're going to get numbers, and it's going to appear like it works. But if all this footage we've seen from space, which there's tons of hoax videos out there, and you know, when you consider everything I talked about in episode 4 and all the work that everyone else out there in the truth community is doing, it doesn't add up. And this doesn't add up because there's no reaction happening out here. So it wouldn't actually work when you really think about it. So that just kind of gives more credit, more validation to these videos that show all the anomalies of ISS footage and moon landing and all that stuff. So this is how I think it happened, and this is how I think a lot of people who work for these space agencies have been duped, and they don't realize it, and it's very unfortunate. But I think we have to swallow our pride and just deal with it. So, where do we go? We've been, for the past 50 years, give or take, we've been, my opinion, kind of living in a world of confusion. Our eyes see these things in space, and we're told about satellites and all these things, but I think our hearts are saying, no, that doesn't make sense, because this action reaction is common sense. We know this. One of the things I loved about high school physics is I realized that it was kind of common sense, and we were just applying values and names and numbers to things. And I loved physics when I was in high school because of that. So, yeah, I think this is what happened, has happened. And thanks for everyone for all the great comments, and even the critics out there. This kind of helped me get to this, and I think this makes sense. But it's up to you to decide what is true, because when it comes down to it, there's really only one person in this world who decides what's true, and that's you. You decide. You let your mind look at things, and in my opinion, let your heart decide if those things are true or not, because I think that's how we work, and I will get into that in later episodes now. That's also your decision as well, to think about how we work, but I do think that's how we work. And so, I don't think space travel is possible because of this, at least using propellants. Now, if we use bullets, again, the bullet, going back to episode 5.0, you have two masses with an action happening between them and blowing them apart, and that would work. If you had barrels sticking out of some type of spacecraft, I think you could move that way. It makes a lot of sense. And the same goes with the skateboard example. You know, the two masses, myself and the skateboard and the cinder block or the CMU block, and my arms at the action throwing it away from me, it would satisfy this equation, action-reaction. It would all work. You could solve for the velocities and go from there. So, that's it. I'm going to get into some different stuff in episode 6, and maybe I can go over the bullets again if I need to in another sub-episode of this, if people tell me this doesn't make sense. But like I said, decide for yourself. I'm not telling you what's true. I'm just telling you what I know is true now. After lots of thought and lots of research, it's just, like, there's never been a human being in space, and there's never been a satellite or anything in space. And what I feel really bad for is that dog Laika that the Soviets launched. I had no idea what was about to happen to her. At least humans know what they're getting themselves into. So, yeah. I will get into a lot more stuff. I'm really enjoying working with everybody in the truth community. It's a beautiful group of people. And so, this time I'm going to leave you with a quote following this presentation from who I think is, who I think was the greatest engineer who ever lived, and has been forgotten, but people are starting to remember who he is. And so I'll leave you with that after this. Until next time, peace.